The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won.
Good morning, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you do that, do, and that you do it with me. Okay, so we're going to talk about the budget this morning. I've gotten through most of it. It's 2 hours and 58 minutes long, right? I see that they're doing some things for, notably, Mike Al, which is Miguane and Agua Cricket Island, Acklands and Lonkey. I noticed he didn't call Acklands. I don't know how you missed the A in Mike Al out, but he did note that Andrus is on the list. And I want to send a shout out to all my friends down there in Andrus. So if you're going to be building a home, renovating a home, or building a business, or expanding a business, you are going to be exempted from VAT and from duties. Also, in the budget, most notably to me, was the exemption on taxes from sanitary napkins and feminine products. Then there was the exemption on disinfectants, which I think kind of makes a blurry line for me because I'm not really sure what all is covered under disinfectants. Like, does that cover all detergents or only the ones that say disinfectants? I'm not sure. Also, the Prime Minister continues to talk about the money spent, I think it's $38 million on feeding people, which then creates kind of a quandary for me because I do not understand, and you can call me 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. I should have had with me the controller of the port department this morning. I don't know where he is, but we have the budget to talk about, so let's talk about it, right? You can also text me 422-4796. And so I'm trying to figure out. So the budget isn't completely drab, if you ask me. I think there are some things in there that may be a bit exciting. I think the opportunity to build duty-free and VAT-free are all exciting. There are some things, though, that I can't quite figure out. Like, the government continues to boast about its support for people that have been either unemployed or underemployed over the last 17 months. The government continues to talk about the $21 million that they've given in unemployment assistance. They also go to talk about the $2.2 million a week that they've given to people in food assistance, which then makes me wonder, why would the government just not remove VAT off groceries? Like, wouldn't that be the most immediate form of relief for every single Bahamian that could be felt overnight by every Bahamian? Like, I don't understand how do they go about with these exemptions because I don't know if they are ever broad enough to ensure that they capture enough people in a way where people can kind of feel the money in their economy. So that's one of the things I was disappointed in. Like, I think diapers. Listen, and I believe that Pampers was an invention by the rich man to oppress the poor man, because he knew the poor man would have more children than him, right? I hate the concept of Pampers. I cannot justify in my mind throwing $54 directly into the garbage. You do nothing with it except throw it into... It is worse than a cigar habit, I promise you, because you get absolutely zero enjoyment from Pampers. The only thing you do with them is toss them in the trash. So I'm opposed to Pampers, right? But I just haven't figured out a better way around it. And had it not been for Pampers, I may have had 15 children. But I am not going to be oppressed by the rich man who has come up with this oppressive technique to keep me poor by disposable diapers. Anyway, that was a sidebar. But so I believe it's a good thing, right? When you take duty or VAT, rather, off of those kinds of things. But I mean, wouldn't it have been a better thing if feeding Bahamians and keeping Bahamians fed, particularly in the greatest crisis of our country's development in 100 years, like, would it just not be more simple to ensure that if the Bahamas was going to absorb the kind of debt that it would, that it is, like, wouldn't it be smarter to ensure that people felt that relief where it mattered most? You think about a regular Sunday, you know, I'm a bachelor, I live alone. Most times my Sunday grocery bill is about, give or take, $158. Out of that $158, $19 of it, or there's about, goes to nothing. I pay for something invisible called VAT. You know, you may say, well, that $19 doesn't amount to anything. The truth of the matter is, though, that $19, if you add it up over the period of a year, over 52 weeks, kind of turns out to be something that is of worth, right? And something that I can feel in my pocket, something that I can pass on to people, something that I can do something else with. But it's something that I can't do anything else with because it goes into the government's coffers. Then there is the issue of the VAT-free, duty-free concessions for people in Miguana, Cricket Island, and those places, right? Because I think you create a logistical issue there in that those people don't have, like, ports, like ships that come straight to them. They still have to come through New Providence. And I imagine that you are now creating some sort of logistical nightmare. If you've ever brought anything in, listen, there is a shipping company located on the port that is, God, awful, right? But if you've ever shipped anything before, you realize how difficult a process that already is. I think when you add these exemptions, like the exemption on, like, should are the people then to apply for a rebate, or do they simply not pay it up front? You understand? Like, I'm not sure how the logistics of it is going to work. And I think, you know, going back to my show yesterday, I think these are the kinds of things that we have to think about. We have to, as we develop as a nation, we have to make sure that there is synergy in policymaking. And I'm not really sure if I see synergy all the time when I consider policymaking, right? The other thing I want to talk about is, it is funny, right? I was doing a little bit of back searching. It is funny the differences in positions that we've taken. So we are about to also spend $100 million on the healthcare facility in the Bahamas. But, you know, I don't want to just start rapping on the desk too quickly, because I remember spending $56 million on the new critical care block, and we found that that was woefully inadequate, and most of it turned out to be nothing more than plush office spaces or inefficient operating areas that really and truly did not crutch up in any way the medical capacity in the Bahamas, right? We know that there's been a massive undertaking to do a facelift over there at the hospital. The entire accident emergency entrance center is under renovations as we speak, to the tune of millions of dollars. And so when they say we're going to spend $100 million on our healthcare facility, I'm minded then to ask, is it going to be more of what we've seen in the past? Because as far as I recall that the general consensus was that the property that the Princess Margaret Hospital sits on has reached its capacity. There is really nothing else you can do with it. The hospital needs to move. So then where are we going to spend the $70 million that the Prime Minister is suggesting is going to be spent on the Princess Margaret Hospital? And what will that translate into? Will that translate into better healthcare? And I mean, let's not act as though we've not been here before. Then there is the issue of the $19 million that they intend to spend on the Rand Memorial, which then again, to my mind, creates a bit of havoc. Because I recall that in just 2019, great consideration was given by both Kay Forbes Smith, who is the director of the DRA, as well as the minister then of health, Dwayne Zant, who both suggested that there needed to be assessments done to ensure that the Rand Memorial, when we rebuilt it, was rebuilt with things like global warming in mind, to ensure that we was getting the best possible value for money in the rebuilding of the facility. And I don't know whether or not those reports have come back. I don't know whether or not we've seen those reports. I don't know what the reports suggest. But what I do know is that the Prime Minister and his ministers are beating on the table because they claim they're going to spend $17 million, or $19 million, was it, on the Rand Memorial. And it is to build a four-story tower at the site that is the Rand Memorial. But this is the same Rand Memorial that 80% of it washed away in the last storm. And so, for me, I'm not saying that it isn't good stuff. What I am saying is, I don't know how do we measure it. I don't know how do we ensure that the money that we spend isn't simply just that, money spent. I mean, because you can kind of spend the money on anything. And obviously, right, I will commend them because, as the Prime Minister has suggested, although I completely disagreed in the beginning, I completely oppose austere measures in policymaking. But admittedly, their austerity measures gave them enough money to be able to do some maneuvers going into these difficult times of Hurricane Dorian and the pandemic. But are Bahamians, in fact, feeling these large sums of money that you continue to come into Parliament and tell us about? And what then is the repercussion for when politicians get it wrong? And also the other question for me that stood out largely as I kind of went back yesterday was, are we using all of the minds? Is the FNM using all of the voices, or are they only using the ones that are in fact not in opposition, or are they only using the ones that are right flat out, completely enamored, overly in love with them, and can't seem to, you know, point left or right outside of the doings or the goings on of the Free National Movement? You know, because we are now saying that the national debt stands at $10 billion or 100% of GDP, and that now is the time to be afraid. But the truth is, there is a member inside the Free National Movement's camp that has been saying that for over a year. He, believe it or not, has been thrown out of the boat, spat out. Not regarded at all. And it makes me wonder, like, are the fellas that are sitting around the table all now so monotonous that they all sing the same chorus in the same tune, on the same key, and cannot see and or hear anything different from the tone in the room? Are there people in this country, maybe inside the Free National Movement, that happen to be from different factions of the Free National Movement, that have ideas and opinions that could help this government steer this ship a little bit better? Is the difficulty we see in the way we do policymaking coming from the fact that we use the same six people to fix every single problem that we have in the country? And I'm not sure how does that kind of materialize, right? If you would recall, it was a year ago, whether it was by prophetic utterance or simply because the man was paying attention, there was one member in the parliament that suggested that by this time, 2021, the government of the Bahamas would be at a $10 billion deficit, that we would be at 100% our GDP. And there was only one person, and he has continually been castigated by his own party, continually been abandoned by his own party, abandoned after the storm, if you ask me, by his own party. There's only been one guy that I can recall. And when he suggested that we would be here, they scoffed and scorned and laughed at him and heckled him and told him, you know, that he had no way to verify the facts. And, you know, and they do this thing I like to call playing class. You see, because a lot of them surmise that because they've been to plenty school, that somehow they have class, and they don't. But they like to pretend as though they exist somewhere that is outside of the vortex that is the Bahamas. As if somehow a spaceship raptures them up and they go and live in a land of milk and honey, and then they come back to dwell with the peasants for short periods of time. We are all the same people. And I think in a place like the elected House of Assembly, where all the voices ought to be equal, in crisis times, we have to ask ourselves, are we listening to all the voices? And so I want to remind you of the one person that I recall who, over a year ago, said, gentlemen, we have got to take stock of where we are, because if we continue down this road, we are going to be at $10 billion and there will be nothing that we can do about it. Let me see if I can get that clip for you. Let's play the clip for them, Kermit.
At this rate, we'll be at 100% in no time. The national debt has basically grown about 40% in my estimation. When we came to office, the national debt was about some $6 billion. Listen, if you listen, you'll hear. When we came to office, the national debt was $6 billion plus. When you leave the office, the national debt will be probably $10 billion or more.
Probably.
If we continue on this trajectory, you will probably double the national debt before leaving office, in the vicinity of approximately $12 billion.
It's a point of order. Point of order.
Yes, the members are absolutely misleading and stating incorrect facts.
He's making a suggestion.
No, you can't make that kind of statement.
Mr.
Speaker,
let me hear your point first. There's
a way that he might be able to make some claim, right? However, yeah, he better say that, though. Because the number he's throwing out is absolutely incorrect and he cannot support it. And so unless he can support it, he should withdraw.
Member East Grand Bahama, respectfully,
With respect, Mr. Speaker.
One second. I heard your point. From where I sit, East Grand Bahama, the member made a statement, made some figures, and I was listening to him very carefully. And I think he was very clear when he said, if it's his view, if he continues in that direction, I believe. So I don't think the member is out of order in his. You might not agree with him, but I don't think he's out of order in his. There's no. This is a debate. I don't need the help of the opposition right now, or at all, actually. I don't think the member is out of order. I think the member made a statement that he feels as if we continue to go in this direction, all of us gives our predictions in our debates. So respectfully, East Grand Bahama, I don't think that your point is taken. Hold 1 second. Member for East Grand Bahama, let's make it clear, I'm not defending. The chair's position is to listen and to make a ruling based on what he hears and what I understand the rules of debates to be. And I try to do that on both sides. And I have listened carefully, and I intentionally listened carefully to the words of the member for Baton Rouge, especially when I see the member for East Grand Bahama in the House. And I'm convinced, and I invite you, if you wish, if you could call it to be reviewed, if you wish, to listen clearly and carefully to the words of the member for Pine Ridge and the ruling of the House stands. Member for
Thank you, Pine Mr. Ridge. Speaker.
And so you see, right, like, there are people that have warned us that we would be here before. There's only one guy that I know. You know the voice now. His name is the Honorable Frederick McAlpine. And it almost, I continue to try to tell these people, right? Like, we are all in the same boat together. There isn't two Bahamases. You don't get to, like, be lord over one Bahamas while the other one completely sinks. And for whatever it is worth, I think that when you consider the tenets of this administration, I believe that they mean well. I believe that this budget, I do not believe, like some people have said, which is an election budget, but I don't get what the end goal is. I don't think the budget reflects the kind of mood that is in the country. It seemed like a free-for-all kind of budget where whomsoever will, let them come. We're giving out goodies and trinkets to people. And I believe that is the prime minister in his effort to do what it is that he thinks Bahamians want to do, and that is feel good. I hear that there is now money being given out for the Junkanoo Committee to the tune of $2 million. You know, what does that mean? To build, what is it, an official national Junkanoo office? For what purpose? What do we hope the end goal to be? How do we come back to the Bahamian people a year from today and say to them, we spent $70 million on PMH, but your healthcare facilities have gotten no better? How do we say to the people at the Rand Memorial 5 years from now, yes, we built you a $19 million facility. Regrettably, the first two floors of it have washed away because we built it in the low-lying area that we knew was low-lying when the hospital was washed away the last time. What is the goal? I know that we are trying to get out of here. And the prime minister says, you know, they had to deviate from their course. I heard him trying to use some navigational language. Prime minister, you should stick to gynecology. They had to deviate, but their direction is the same. Well, if you take a deviation, your direction is not the same. Your destination is the same. But if you're deviating, can you tell me, how do you intend to dead reckon to get back on course? Well, how do you intend to alter this course? Do you intend to just allow yourself to be altered slowly over time by the conditions? Or do you intend to use your engine steam to alter this course back to where we ought to be? How do you plan to do it? What is the way out? And I mean, maybe some of you were completely titillated by the budget. If you were, you can call me in a pause. Or you can call and tell me what is it that you anticipated would come out of the budget. But there are just some conflicting things in there that kind of gets me wondering about how it is we're going to proceed for the next 2 years as a people. I got calls on the line. Let's take them. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, morning, Mr. Miller. What's up, my brother?
All is well, DeWitt.
All is well.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Miller, as I understood, and I got my information from not no social media, but from credible, very, very, very credible, I'll say it like this, the movers and shakers of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ingram was the prime minister 3 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
You're correct.
Mr. Christie was the prime minister 2 times, right?
Yep.
Okay. Do you realize, and I want you to do your investigation or you know, get your facts, like I did. Do you realize that between Mr. Ingram 3 terms and Mr. Christie 2 terms combined together, they have not borrowed as much money as this government in the space of 4 years?
Well, this government will say that none of those prime ministers have had. The prime minister was very cautious to use these words several times in his communication yesterday.
Uh-huh.
For the first time in the history of this country, my government uh-huh. continues to tout that for the first time in the history of this country. And I wondered if he knew that in a country that is developing, in a country that has only been independent for 50 years, every new prime minister, but maybe things around here, will be the prime minister that did something for the first time in the history of the country. Like, that's not a earth-shattering thing to do. But the truth is, he will argue that, you know, Christie never had a pandemic, nor did Ingram. Christie had 2 hurricanes each time he was prime minister, but Christie's never had a Dorian to deal with.
Right.
And in the even if you equate Irma to Dorian, right?
Right.
Irma broke up Cricket Island. There's about 28 of them there.
Right.
When you talk about in comparison to Dorian's devastation of Abaco, the second largest economy, and partial devastation of Grand Bahama, the third largest economy, the prime minister will argue that the shortfall felt there, I think, of what, $200 million
But watch this now. Watch mm-hmm. this now, Mr. Miller. You know when the last hurricane when they had in the southern Bahamas. When mm-hmm. they had to evacuate basically everyone from Inagua straight down, like in the southern Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
I myself do my I offer my service anytime hurricane come to NPCC, the Providence Community Center,
mm-hmm.
and we housed those people there, and I don't even want to get into that, but didn't, you know, I don't even want to get into that. But what I want to say to you is that you had Mr. Mark Lupine, right, who was castigated, who was thrown underneath the bus, who was ridiculed, who was bombarded, who was, you know, the only thing I don't think they call Mr. Mark Lupine in the house is Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, hypothetically. And now the chickens are coming home to roast. And to listen to what, to Don Sanders even, you know, with his words, and the thing about it, what really captured me with this is that, where is Mr. Peter Turnquest in all of this? Is he still the Minister of Finance? No.
No, he isn't.
No, he's not. All right? And it just goes to show, and the same Minister of Finance, right, Mr. Miller, I want to throw this in before I go,
mm-hmm.
still have the people in Easton and Swedenski living in makeshift tents.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The same one who's in charge of all the money. But still, you have people in this country who's going to turn a blind eye. This budget, all this budget is for Bohemian people who are there, who is trying to make ends meet, is to try to buckle up because you're in for a long, 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 bumpy ride. Have a good day, my brother.
Appreciate it, DeWitt. Let's take another call, Kermit. Good morning, Carly. You're on. Carly, there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you're on.
Mr. Miller, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Mr. Miller, let me ask you a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Christie had Hurricane Jean, Francis, Jean, and Wilma, right?
Francis and Jean, yeah.
Wilma, right now. Now, every hurricane will be different as time goes on. So, in life, you have to deal with the cards you have. True or false?
Agreed.
Now, let me show you. Now, Peter Turnquest has been last by the talk. I've been Swedenski in the weekend. I did it with you. Did you know right now the FNM government in Swedenski ain't left a straw? Ain't left a straw. Do you know the trailer hands, the trailer homes and the mobile tents are still there rotting? Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
No, I'm trying
to... So you're talking about... Hold on, I'm trying to make sure I understand. You're talking about donated items or...
No, listen to me carefully. Remember the government said they bought tents or trailer homes for $6 million. Remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. See, I don't talk to myself now. I mean, sorry for with new in the past. It's nothing against your person, you okay?
I don't take it personal. Go on.
On a serious note, no. Freeport Grandmama, for the first time, at 5 FNM MPs. True or false?
Agreed.
They had 3 ministers. They had the government general. They had everything. Do you know right now, forget the pandemic. Forget the hurricane. Before the hurricane, do you know right now, this FNM government ain't do a question in Freeport? Nothing in Freeport. Nothing. So, I'm trying to say right now, Peter Turnquist should be the last man to talk to the Bahamas. This man, half the people in Swedenski living like animals. I've been Swedenski, like I said again. Do you hear me?
I'm listening, yeah.
I've been Swedenski. Do you know right now the NGOs did everything in Swedenski? Last thing, right? Let me ask you a question, Mr. Miller. Who you know right now can afford to start a new business in this time besides people who get back and who have money?
Well, the Prime Minister said that they're going to work on getting people funding through the SBDC.
And the next thing, before I go, I'll let it right now. The man said, he give you 2 years for duty free stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everything this government is on, you know, nothing straightforward.
How do you mean?
You know what I mean?
What do you mean when you say nothing is straightforward?
You know, when they say on, right? They would say one thing, when you go there, it's more red tape. People discourage. Something like I said before, Mr. Miller, you was a good man. Go and travel to Bahamas right now. This government ain't been nothing for free, but nothing.
Well, the next time y'all going on one of them field trip, why don't get them to sign me up to go on the field trip so I could see? Because if I could see, then I could talk about what I know.
Or everyone go to them, okay?
All right, very good. I can stand by, and I got my passport just in case I need that.
Hey, use a Bayman, man. You, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You're
Camel, okay? All right. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me, 4224796. A text right here says, good morning, Levin. Garbage. New edifice for a hospital should be built in Gladstone Road where there is ample space for expansion. Yeah, I don't know. Like, where, I'm thinking about the entire PMH complex, right? And I can't really tell where I would spend $70 million. But they beat on the table when they say it. I don't know where you could spend $70 million there. And again, even if you spend $70 million, will that translate into better healthcare? Because we've spent $56 million before. Let's take another call. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with this government is, you know, when I was in primary...
You still there?
You know, before, yeah, you can hear me?
Yeah, go on. I can hear you now.
Yeah, when I was in primary school, the teacher always would tell me, before you write... And the reason why you would do a plan is just that when you sort of, if you write an essay and you think you're running off course, you're going to revert back
revert
to the plan.
Revert to your plan, yeah, yeah.
Right. That's the problem. I think Pierre de Proust last year or so said that no one could say that this government isn't busy. But the problem is, everybody is busy doing something, but no one can see what you're building.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute, it looks like you're trying to build a house. Next minute, you're trying to do an apartment.
Mm.
And that's the biggest problem. They're spending a lot of money, but without strategic plan, you can't see a focus. You can't see measurable goals, and you can't see results.
Mm.
And, I mean, it's hard to say. Mark O'Brien keeps saying it, but if you don't make no plans, you're planning to fail.
No, I think your assessment of them has been pretty good, Gautler. I actually say they remind me of houses in the inner city, right? And I say this as a child who was raised in two inner city communities. I was raised in Baynton and Angleston. But you ever been to one of those houses where they have sugar and no tea bag or bread and no peanut butter?
No bread,
or, and you're trying to figure out who the hell been to the food store?
Exactly. And that's the thing. You know, we're hearing a lot of money being spent, but without a strategic plan, it's just, and it just seems like whoever could get in there of the prime minister, they say, okay, hey, you need to do this. And if it sounds good, he goes with it. Because I still don't understand micro-top breweries. That's another thing.
plus there are some other things in their cola that I think aren't really going to be measurable. Like when you say you reduce building supplies from 25% to 20%, right?
Exactly.
How do I as the consumer track that? Like I have to now rely on, unless I bring in my own stuff. When I go down to the fella up the road who to sell to before, I only just another issue is it's not like we have an effective portion control price monitoring people here. You could go to one lumber yard and buy a piece of 2x4 for $2 cheaper than you could buy it at another. How is that possible? Because it's not regulated.
But don't forget, a few years ago, they did the exemption on clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the price of clothing hasn't changed.
That's my point. So how do me, as Joe Public, monitor or measure that?
When you don't have checks and balances, you don't have systems where you could do these things, it's hard to say corruption prevails.
Mm-hmm.
And not that they might be doing things corrupt, but it's just that when you won't have these transparency, these process and checks and balances, corruption happens.
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting point you brought up is the whole tax-free zone in the southern Bahamas. Like, do you forget that everything that
comes through New Providence
has to come to New Providence?
Right. So you've now created a layer of bureaucracy.
Yeah. Because what happens now, I could guarantee you, if I say, yo, I bring in these stuff to go to my place in Auckland, the customs officer could say, you're lying. No, you got to pay this tax.
Right.
And then try
and apply for a reimbursement. And have you ever tried to apply for a reimbursement of anything around here?
Well, so there's no reimbursement.
I would rather pull a shark's back tooth. I promise you that. No, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but it's just that, no, if you're not planning these things, you're just doing things and it sounds good, but when you get into the gritty of it, your policy just can't stand up. So
there was another one that got me. There was another one that got me, Carl. I'll let you go right now, but this other one got me where he said the government is going to allow businesses to write off value-added tax fees to the tune of $400 per person per week for up to 10 people in each business, right? And I think they say they're trying to do something like eliminate 2,500 people from the unemployment list, right? I can assure you, and I have no way to prove it, but I can assure you that they are going to hire people that require minimum wage salaries. They're going to still write off $400 in value-added tax, and people will be getting minimum wage salaries. Great, that really doesn't do anything for anyone. But it's going to be the mercantile class that, again, benefit off of the backs of poor people with this VAT write-off. How do you police these things? It's the unpoliceable.
Listen, my thing is, I don't see doing that tax credit as making any real sense. Because if I'm going to have to take on employees, right,
mm-hmm.
You're giving me $400 in tax credit for VAT, right?
Mm-hmm.
Suppose maybe my tax liability for a whole year after my turnover might only be, let's say, $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
I hired 10 persons, so that's $4,000. But to hire those 10 persons, they're looking at insurance, right? So my insurance obligation is going to go up.
No, right? but that is if you want to be a decent, upstanding human being employing other human beings. Let me tell you what I perceive will happen. People out of desperation will take jobs for $210 a week. I am going to write my taxes off for $400 a week. I am going to then pocket $190 in tax write-offs for myself because I feel like the pandemic has affected me. Last year, I was able to fly my jet 100 times. I only flew my jet 90 times this year, and I feel like someone should compensate me for that. Right?
You know,
and
you
so
know,
when you translate it, how does this help the poor?
You know, we don't sit in it. We ain't the $100,000 consultants that they have sitting at tables with a million degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But me and you could see with enough sense, these are things that gaps that could create situations where corruption and untoward people are going to abuse the system. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, like you say, who's advising the competent authority?
Mm.
If me and you as an ordinary man on the streets could see these things,
mm.
I'm sure those who sit in there have more data and are seeing more things could see this happening.
Mm.
So if you're allowing it to go through, then I wonder who interests you serving.
Unless they're riding on the fact that this is a good Christian country and all these people is decent Christians, I don't know, maybe.
Good luck with that.
All right, 323-623-223-254-316-325-4259. We're talking about the budget. You can text me, 422-4796, or you could just continue to sit here and let me tell you what displeases me about the budget. There was another one that got me. Which one was it? I didn't hear the Prime Minister's allocation towards NHI. I'm sure I listened to 2 hours of it. Maybe it's in the last 50 minutes. I admit I haven't listened to the whole 2 hours and 50 minutes. But I listened to 2 hours of the speech. I heard him talk about NHI just briefly when he said that the government is going to strengthen its healthcare facilities and they're going to continue to ensure that primary healthcare is available for all Bahamians. But I don't remember hearing an allocation or whether or not they were going to actually begin. Well, no. Actually, then that means that they're not going to move towards phase two of NHI and they're going to just continue with the primary care, which means it's probably going to still be funded at the same $40 million. Let's take this call. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Antoine?
I'm doing good, man. Very good conversation, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to add 2 quick points. One off of the last point with the last caller. As a matter of fact, that credits program that the government is implementing
mm-hmm.
is merely a whitewash of funds going into companies with no real end result of success, because the only way a program of such can be sustained where it would be feasible for a business owner to take on additional expenditure or additional salary expenses onto their bottom line in a bad economy, the only way it would make sense and be sustainable ultimately is if the economy improves to such an extent that that business can realize more revenue that they can afford to keep on that additional expenditure beyond the period of 40 weeks that the government has slated for this program. Mm-hmm. And so that program is really a whitewash, a giving away of taxpayer money at a time when the country can least afford it. As a matter of fact, and as you pointed out, which I also have said and agree with completely, it's the regulations of policies that to look at it from a different perspective. It's not just creating a policy. It's the implementation, how you implement that policy that gives it the effectiveness. And so you need the regulations, and they need to make sense, and they need to be prudent, and they need to be time sensitive, and they need to be able to be measured, and they need to have a specific outcome at the end of the day. And none of these policies that the Prime Minister has spoken to thus far has that kind of impact. And finally, Levon.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at this policy that the government is creating with eliminating VAT and duty on items, that is going to hurt the domestic businesses more than it's going to help domestic businesses. If you remember, Levon, when the PLP under Mr. Christie experienced Matthew, and they extended through the captain down there at NEMA. They extended the program to assist persons to repair their homes. They ensured that vouchers were provided for local businesses and specific local businesses to ensure that they were targeted, to ensure that they were able to reach the market that they wanted to reach and assist, and ensure that those who needed the most was able to benefit from that type of activity. This program is going to further burden domestic businesses. in our country who has been suffering over the last 14 to 15 months with ill-conceived, poorly thought and poorly planned COVID-19 policies. Anyway, I know you only have an hour, so I'll end it right there.
Appreciate you, John.
Continue to get work, bro.
Thank you, buddy. Okay, text right here says, brother, for a whole 70 million, Prime Minister, Dr. Minnis may as well build a new hospital in the western area near Carmichael Road Station with ambulances so at least the people in the west and southern area of New Providence don't have to perish for what during an emergency seems like a whole hour. Sorry, while waiting for an ambulance to come from downtown. By the way, for this reason, there should be one public hospital for points of Nassau, New Providence, North, East, South, and West. FNM, PLP, and DNA, and anyone else running for political office moving forward. That's the way it should go. That is a very expensive venture you talk about there, text writer. I see the calls. Let me get a couple of these text messages, though. Ask the caller if anything changed in Grants and Bairntown, Cat Island, Michael, etc. Successive governments did nothing to get our country running like it's supposed to be done. And that's another thing. You know, I thought about this yesterday after the show was over. We talk about infrastructural upgrades in the family island, right? Again, I love my good, dear, beloved brother, and he's a wonderful human being, Adrian Gibson. I think he's doing a yeoman's task down there at Water and Sewage. He is the chap that lays pipe. That is what he's now known as, right? But how do we justify laying thousands of feet of pipe all through Cat Island, thousands of feet of pipe all through Long Island? And there are people right here through Quintine Alley who toting water. There are people right there in Montelites toting water. There are people right over there in Rupert D. Lane where I grew up toting water. There are people right over there on Mini Street where I grew up toting water. As a matter of fact, the government pump on Mini Street. How do we justify it? How do we make sense of it all? How are we spending the money? And how are we spending it in a way where the citizens actually have an opportunity to benefit and to recoup the cost? That is something that I'm still not sure I see in the way we make our policy. And so you throw millions of dollars up in the air, you're not really sure where it lands. This one here says, dog food is expensive and there's no duty applied. Go figure. I don't know. I mean, I guess dog food is kind of expensive. Hey, PM said $100 million to the hospital in Nassau and Grand Bahama. One must listen to the words he said. The amount for Grand Bahama is budgeted for the amount that he mentioned, but he said the amount for he said that the Rand Memorial is going to be four stories and $19 million. He did say that, text writer. In my opinion, as one that own a micro business, the SDBC is a joke. No matter what requirements are met, there's always an pure red tape, totally discouraged. I know four people that have told me the same thing, that they've tried to go through the SDBC, and literally it is like being digested in the bowels of a whale. It's just pure trickle-down economics. I just want to know what the unions is getting. By the way, I went to do a physical using NHI. I was told the next available appointment was December. I'm telling you, the JNHI physician doesn't have the right to tell you that. You should call them. And if they can't give you an available date before December, you should call the authority. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Next line. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Aaron Coulton, God for life and grass. Good morning to you. Listeners all over the world. Tell me something. First of all, I think that's the best communication I ever heard a prime minister do.
He seemed to be in good spirits yesterday. You're correct.
Yeah, Levan, he sounded like he was focused on whatever that was written in front of him to get that out to us, the people.
I have a grievance with the prime minister. I wish he would stop using the word populist. It just sounds terrible.
What word is that?
Populist. That's just me. That holds no weight. You can continue.
Yeah,
I hate the word.
I don't write my things down. I could try to focus to continue, right? Because it was only a couple words I wanted to say. But since you brought it up with the word populist, right? I say, Murdy, I need to call my boy off the air. When he come on in the morning, he say, I don't know what you people do. But whatsoever you people do, I say, it might sound better than saying my people, our people. It sound, what word is negative when you say it that way?
Okay.
You people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Negative. I will take that into advisement.
Yeah. And Prime Minister should take your advice too. Listen, so what I wanted to find out exactly, say anything for the frontline workers like the police officers, the nurses, giving them a raise straight across the board. I ain't talking about no specific set. People work in the hospital.
No, but I think there were increases. There were increases to the government ministries, and if there were increases in the government ministry allocations,
man, they need to talk straight.
No, but I mean, some things are just kind of you could anticipate it. If your ministry gets an increase in budget, there's more than likely promotions are going to be in that.
That's what we like to believe, right? Mm-hmm. It should be that way, but then we needed to talk straight to say that's just what it is.
Now, I imagine when the ministers come. Remember now, the Prime Minister is the Minister of Finance, so he's going to give you the basic outlay. As the ministers come,
frontline workers,
I imagine the ministers will then address the things that are important to their ministries. So the Minister of National Security will come and say, listen, we intend to hire 54 police and 100 Defense Force officers. We intend to do a promotional exercise.
This is trying to keep the nurses, they leaving. I understand they go in other countries and different. I know COVID everywhere. But this is the time to impress them to really, we could never pay them for what they'd be doing. So I say use some of that money to invest in that. Now, I understand people saying the civil service. Say, but y'all ain't give us our, what the word is, increments and all of this. And y'all promising from last year, y'all didn't. Wait, listen. Maybe they say Thai gold don't know how to loose gold. A loose gold don't know how to tie gold for you, right?
And the Thai gold don't know how to loose gold for you.
Yeah, so maybe if I was in their position, I would understand. But I think we just need to be grateful, not to the Prime Minister or the government. Just grateful, you know, to God to still be able to have some kind of income. Look how much our brothers and sisters rate around us. Maybe thousands more than who not complaining, but who waiting on this increment. It could come. But just be thankful for whatsoever we could get. And I ain't saying they shouldn't ask for it. But tell me something. Anything in the newspaper, or did you hear the Prime Minister say anything? What I hear on the radio, I know I didn't dream it. Where they saying a national lottery is supposed to start like 2nd of June or the 6th of June or something. You know, if the government doing it, because that's something what
I heard that. I didn't hear that. I may have to listen again. I don't remember hearing anything about a national lottery.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like one of the web shop folks is supposed to start, and I don't think we should.
No, I remember them talked about something about home porting of the cruise ships and that being able to get more people off of the cruise ships.
Did because you hear the CCC? Would... What the people who's given permission in the United States? Tell them, say, they could start
in June.
How do you say it?
Sailing in June.
Exercising or start this Royal Caribbean who make the deal with us.
Yeah.
Only six, was reported
right, and they're going to be home porting here in the Bahamas. And...
Only 6 months. I was saying, they must say 6 months till the CCC make up their mind what they could do. So I wouldn't know what they could do now that the CCC give them permission to start from Florida, from in Miami. I wouldn't know if they still can keep the deal with us and do it from Florida the same way. I heard it yesterday on the, what you call it, on Twitter or something.
All right. Thank you,
Bob. Have a good week, Levi.
Yeah, buddy. Appreciate you. I got some text writers here. Let's see. Let me see if I can get a couple of these text messages so these people don't kill me. What's going on with the park at the Sutton Recreation Ground? It's under renovation as a part of the inner city community development project that the Prime Minister is spearheading. Levin, I so love your show. I agree with the last texter. The millions of dollars successive governments keep spending on Princess Margaret Hospital and the RAN. We need a new hospital, point blank. There is hardly any parking, and there is a population shift already. Yeah, I think that there was some study done that suggested that to move Princess Margaret Hospital from out of downtown Nassau would cause the economy of downtown Nassau to collapse. I think that is why they've never moved it. But I agree with you. I mean, as a regular blood donor, I want to tell you that it aggrieves my spirit to have to go and put in that much effort to go and give the gift of blood, right? And I invite you all to go down there and donate blood if you haven't done it in a while. But I have to also commend them. They have since given parking consideration for blood donors. Notwithstanding, they've built the Samaritan's Purse tent over the parking. And so now I am once again challenged with the issue of finding parking. But you can find me down there every 8 weeks as I go to give the gift of blood because it is the gift of life. All right. Mr. Miller, stop it. The PM's professional experience gives him the ability to navigate and ignore. Well, his navigational language was off yesterday because he said they had to deviate from their course, but their direction is the same. A deviation in navigation changes your direction. So, you know, I would offer to him the advice he offered to the former Commodore. He needs to learn to navigate better then. Sullivan, don't Family Islanders deserve potable water and good infrastructure? Yes, they do. Nassau is not the Bahamas. I agree. Every Bahamian deserves to live comfortably as far as what the government can provide. You are completely correct. All I'm trying to figure out is how you get the pipe dam all the way down in Long Island and the people right here on Podolio Street don't have it. How the pipe dam pass Podolio Street? How the pipe get past Pitt Road on its way to the dock? How did that happen? That's all I want to ask. And I'm saying to you that when you consider economies of scale, the people that live in far-flung islands of the Bahamas have opted to do so. And as such, it takes resources a little longer time to reach them. This is an unusual thing. Canada has the same problem. All right? There are people that decide they want to be mountain people and live in the mountains in Canada. Well, the Canadian government, with all of its resources, say, well, we ain't sure when we can get to giving you no road. And we ain't sure if you can get no hospital. We could send some helicopters up there that can get you if something happened. Outside of that, grace to you and peace from God. All right? So those are the challenges you kind of decide to live with when you live on far-flung islands. And besides, those people are very resilient and resourceful, and they have figured their way of life out. Concerning the budget communication, every time an F&M administration governs, the Bahamas keeps giving some kind of tax breaks to the well-off, the rich, the wealthy, and while simultaneously, without blinking, throwing all kinds of fees or taxes, tax burdens that trickle down on the poor and middle class. I guess I can kind of agree with that. Mr. Miller, please tell your caller to be mindful when speaking on how others should be grateful. Everyone is entitled to speak on what is owed. I agree that frontline workers should be paid more, etc. But as public servants who haven't received our increments despite all that has been going on, and sorry, the phone does this thing where when I try to read it, it kind of cuts off sometime. I agree that frontline workers should be paid more, etc. But as public servants who haven't received our increments despite all that has been going on, and in many cases being the main breadwinners of our families at this point, run us our money, please. Okay. This one says, Brother Miller, please tell that clown Anton, if he ever speaks on the gangster MPs under Perry, nothing done for the crap done by his MPs. PLPs will never see power for at least 15 years. No one wants bravest leader, but these stalwarts run the show. If PLP want to win, move brave and put Mr. Cooper in. Okay. Good morning, Levin. I'm tired of hearing Anton. Lies of excellence, of excellent management of Hurricane Matthew. Can we please fact check the areas of impact? Low Sound, North Andros, Grand Bahama, sick of his nonsense. Okay. Boy, Jesus. Anton really gets you all waters, running it. Mr. Miller, do Guardian Radio pay Anton to call shows? I don't know who pays him. The people at Pinewood surely will be happy about the budget. I did think that that was a good idea. Although I see that they've allocated $4 million, and not just for Pinewood, but also for Bel Air State, which is in Carmichael Road, if my calculation isn't incorrect. And if I also recall correctly, I thought they said that when the PLP did the study in Pinewood Gardens, I thought that they said that Pinewood Gardens needed $6 million to fix. So how are you all fixing it for one-third of the price? And are we sure it's going to be fixed if we fix it for one-third of the price? Because I don't know. I mean, that's a massive decrease from what I remember. It was supposed to be $6 million or $5 million. So where did we get this new $2 million figure from? I don't know. Chess and Brave are playing politics and doing too much. It's time to retire them. They are desperate for power. Chester just reached to retire him to go where? This is his first time. This is his first go at it. I mean, he's 50. He's literally 50 years old. Retire him to do what? The PLP is like a beautiful cake, but you people are amazing. But when you bite into it, it's styrofoam. Don't be fooled by their facade or their facade, as they are only myth relative to good governance. Levin, the pipe project is political. The writing is on the wall. All right. This one here says, Mr. Miller, for $70 million, they can build a new hospital at Glasson Road or somewhere near Carmichael Road, but leave PMH downtown. We need more hospitals, not less hospitals. The problem with that becomes management, right? Like, I think that's the issue we have now with the million airports. Anyway, that's my time. I don't hear my music yet. That's my time. I got to get out of here. It's 12 o'clock. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you so much for joining me. News, it's next.